Greetings to all of you again this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah, and our King, our God. I was impressed again this morning with how meaningful singing is in worship. What would worship be like without singing? We already talked about some of the songs. One of the phrases from the song about Psalm 23 said that one of the things my shepherd does for me is that he doesn't treat me like a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. And I'm glad to have visitors here this morning. And I trust that you will not feel like a stranger, even though you are a guest, but that you'll feel at home in worshiping with us. Does anybody remember the second song that we sang this morning before our Sunday school? Second opening song, what was the title? Good. O Everlasting Light. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. The title this morning is, I Am the Light of the World. We looked at several I Am's a while ago. I guess probably last year. I don't think it was this year at all yet. We looked at these pictures. We looked at I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and life, I am the vine. This morning we want to look at I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's seven of these I am statements in the book of John. Why did Jesus choose to reveal himself in these ways? If you think about it, each of them are a picture. It was a way to for the people of his time to visualize who he was, to connect something from the past to the present, to the future, by way of a picture. And when Jesus made these statements, and as we read these statements, and as he made it to them, it reveals a lot about who he is, what his purpose is. It reveals something about the world around us, the world that we live in, but also it reveals something about what he's offering us, what he wants to be to us or for us. Light and darkness are both a part of our existence. What a glorious sunny morning. There's something so invigorating about a sunny Sunday morning. Think about a glorious sunrise or sunset. Last night the sunset was gorgeous again. Maybe it's no wonder that many countries worship the sun. The sun is beautiful. The sun brings so much into our lives. But of course we know and we worship the God who created that sun. It's a fascinating study when you come across themes or words in the Bible to go back and look at the first usage. What's the first usage of the word light? How far back in the Bible do we have to go? Or I should say, how early in the Bible? Do you know which verse? You all know it's Genesis 1. Let's flip back there and read a few verses. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness, we don't have light in this verse yet, but we have the absence of light, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. What was that light? Was it the sun? No. When was the sun created? Which day? Fourth day. Fourth day, we have the sun, the moon, and the stars dividing the day and the night. For signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So it was not the sun. but it was light. And so we get a picture already starting to form that God is light. God is the source of light. He created light. Light is like a mystery. How do you describe light? Can you feel light? I mean, we see light, but there's something very mysterious about light. Science has tried to explain it and understand it and describe it. But it's something we kind of take for granted. Light is a very big part of our lives. But darkness also abounds. We live in a very dark world. Even though the sun shines every day, we still live in a dark world. But we also deal with darkness in our minds sometimes. We don't understand with all clarity what God's will is. Sometimes things are unclear. Sometimes things are a little unseen. But Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. Who is Jesus? What did he mean by this statement? Why did he come? And as we look at those questions, we have to ask questions like, who am I and why am I here? And what does Jesus want for me as he shines his light, as he gives the light that he says that he is? What should it do for us? Let's read some verses here from John to try to get the context. And we'd like to look at this within the context of the time frame that it was given. John chapter 7, if you turn back a chapter, verse 2, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. We talked about the Feast of Tabernacles. I did not look what the date was, but when we talked about Jesus crying out, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me. We looked a little bit at some of the history and the festivals and the traditions around the Feast of the Tabernacles. And we want to review a little bit of that and look at some more things in relation to that this morning. But we have the Feast of Tabernacles at hand, and Jesus, he wasn't scared to go, but his disciples were. They were warning him because there was a lot of unrest. But then it says in verse 14, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So partway during this feast lasted 8 days. And sometime through that, Jesus came and he was teaching the people. And we're going to jump down to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Excuse me. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's talk a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is also known as Sukkot, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, which means booths. Now, what do you know about booths? What was this Feast of Tabernacles or booths celebrating? It was, of course, the wanderings, the 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness, the trip from Egypt to Canaan, where they dwelt in tents and in booths. This is one of three feasts. There were seven feasts, but there was one of three that all the males were required to attend once a year. But it also seems like the women and children did come along as well, especially maybe later on in the time of Christ. But we had the Passover, or the Day of Atonement was the one, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Those were the three that were required by all males to attend. Of course, we have, like we read here, Jesus was there. Jesus went to the temple. Jesus went to the feast, and he was talking, but teaching. In his teaching, he brought out two pictures that we want to look at. I said already that we looked earlier at water. Now, this morning we want to look at light. Water and light. I want to talk just a little bit about the timing of this and what was happening when Jesus taught these sayings. One of these was the water drawing ceremony. And we talked about this before. Every day, if you recall, every day during the Feast of Tabernacles, there would be a procession of priests that would leave the temple. Let's see, they would head to the Pool of Siloam. They had two golden pitchers, one they filled with oil, one they filled with living water from the Pool of Siloam. There was people who went along that played flutes, musical instruments, and as they walked, they chanted Psalm 113 to 118. These are called the Hallel or Hallel Psalms, which means praise. These are psalms of praise. It was a great time of rejoicing. Psalm 118, one of the psalms that they recited, verse 15 says, The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. They were beautiful psalms. Read them sometime. Psalms of praise, psalms of commitment to God. It was also psalms of beseeching God to bring the rains that they needed so much. But they wound their way down to the Pool of Siloam. They dipped out the water. They came back, and the priest would pour. There was two large basins there at the altar. The priest would pour the wine into the one and the water into the other. And again, a very, very joyful, joyful time. And it was during that time, I believe, the last day we read, the great day of the feast, when Jesus said, If any man thirst, let him come to me. He used that picture of water that they knew, and he said, If any man thirst, come to me. He promised to give them living water. And you see what it did. We read these verses. It prompted some real discussion and fighting and bickering about who this man was, because they recognized that this man If he's saying the truth, then this must be the Messiah. And it's fascinating how they argued about a prophet coming out of Galilee. They must have forgotten the verses in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, say, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath this light shined." And we have prophecies of Galilee, even though they were here arguing and saying, "For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." But these verses bring us to the next picture of light. The second symbol that Jesus used to point to himself was light. God had indeed promised that a great light was going to come out of Galilee. Let's talk about what happened. Something else that happened. In the temple court, over the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, they erected some large torches or candelabras. These torches, I don't know if I can draw a picture of them, but children, I want you to get a picture of this. They were tall, and on the top, they had four. This is not a good picture, but they had four basins that would hold oil. Now, these torches, these candelabras, were very tall. I'm going to say, probably if you stood beside them, you would be about that big. They were 50 cubits high. That's about 75 feet. That's how many stories? 75 feet is really tall. And they would set up ladders. And they would climb. Young men would climb with 10 gallons of oil, and they would pour them into each of these. Now, there was four of these candelabras set up with four lamps on top of each. And they would light these in the evening. Each evening, they would light them. They used wicks, and I think that the whole basin would light up in a gigantic torch. 16 of these torches shooting toward the sky. They say that there was no courtyard in the city of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem, the temple was up at the top on the hill. They said there was no courtyard in the whole city that wasn't lit up. It was a bright, gorgeous light. Again, part of the ceremony, as they walked down to light these candles, there was 15 steps, and Jim mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago to me. I found it in my studies as well. There was 15 steps that they would go down, and they would sing or chant the Psalms of Ascent. Those are Psalms 120 to 134, 15 Psalms. Your Bible might call them Psalms of Degrees. But they were part of this worship experience and this rejoicing as they would come down and then they would light these gigantic lights. And it was somewhere around that time. If you follow the text here, it says it was the next morning. Maybe it was still dark. I don't know. Maybe these torches were still burning brightly when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." What was light? What were these lights supposed to remind the children of Israel of? What in their history do you think a giant torch of light was to remind them of? Maybe the pillar of fire by night where God led them. I think it was. Maybe it was the Shekinah glory that came down and filled the temple when Solomon was worshiping. Remember that story where the priests couldn't even come in because the glory of God had filled the temple. I really think that it was a reminder to them of God's protection, God's light and guidance that he gave to them. Think about the time that the pillar stood between them and the army of the Egyptians. And it gave light on the one side and darkness on the other. And it protected them. These were the things that they thought about as they lit these lamps. And now, once again, God's glory was present in the temple. Here was Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. God himself was at the temple this day. And he said, I am the light of the world. It was a messianic claim. It was a proclamation that I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Well, that is a very quick overview of what was happening during this time. With that as the backdrop, let's talk a little bit more. We'll try to go over them very quickly. Seven things that light does for us today. Seven things that light is. And as you think about this, remember there was a present day, maybe we should say there was a prophetic application of light, so the people were thinking forward to the light that would come. There was a present day application for them in Jesus being their Messiah coming, but there's also an application for us today. Let's not forget the past, but let's also try to apply it to us today. Number one, light brings sight and understanding. Light brings sight and understanding. Can you see without light, children? Lorette talked about the darkness that came with one of the plagues that you could feel. So dark that everybody was like in a prison. They were shut up. They couldn't go anywhere. It was so dark. Light gives you the ability to see. Without light, we're hopelessly blind. I'm told that even the lack of sunlight or the absence of sunlight can cause blindness. Quarries or, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Where they mine, a mine, that's what it is. They would use mules down in the mines, and the mules would turn blind from working in the darkness for years. There's something about the absence of light for an extended period of time. Even people living in dungeons or cellars or prisons, if they're denied too much sunlight, they can lose their sight. What happened right after this? Let's flip forward in John 8. The very end, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw what? He saw a blind man. He saw a blind man. He had just said, I'm the light of the world. And what did he do? He brought light to this man. And how did he do it? He used two things. He said, I'm the light of the world. So he healed his sight. But what did he use to do it? Where did he tell him to go wash after he put the clay on his eyes? In the pool of Siloam, the very place where they had just dipped out the living water and had this festival of pouring out the water. And Jesus had said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And here he was using these two things, and he brought sight. He brought sight and understanding to this young man or older man. How was it that he brought sight and understanding? Verse 7, we have his physical sight being healed. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. But he also looked forward in verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. He also brought him to a place of understanding of who Jesus was, the Messiah, the healer, his Lord. Light brings sight and understanding. Without Christ, the world is spiritually blind. Jesus said in John 12, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. It's through Jesus that we know and understand the Creator, God. It's through him that we understand he loves us and wants a relationship with us. It's through him that we understand that our sin and rebellion has severed that relationship. And it's through him that we understand we have to come through Jesus, our Messiah, to regain that relationship that was lost. It's through him that we understand right from wrong. That's part of what the light is that is shining out. When Jesus said, "I am the light," he said, "I am the one who will bring sight and understanding to your life." Thanks to Jesus, we can all say, once we were blind, but now we see, if we have truly experienced that light. Secondly, light brings life. Jesus said, "I am the light of life." Children, you learn in school pretty early on that without the sun, there would be no life. Is that right? Plants, people, the world, the ecosystem, all is dependent on the sun and on light. Light is necessary to sustain life. It sustains our bodies. It not only gives us food, but it also helps our bodies to use the vitamins, to synthesize vitamins. And just as vital as the sunlight is to the physical light, or maybe even more vital, the Son of God, the light of the world, is vital for our spiritual life. He is the light of life. Not just light, but the light of life. Paul said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He paints a dark picture. Everybody has sinned. We've fallen short. And furthermore, in Romans 6:23, he declares that the wages of sin is death. What if it would stop there? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God for the light of life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, as the light of the world, brings us the light that quickens and restores our spiritual life. Spiritual life can be found in no other place other than in Jesus Christ. He's the giver of physical life, and he's the giver of spiritual life. He is life itself. And I ask you this morning, is he your life? Or does your life just goes on? Or is Jesus truly a substantial part, an important part, a necessary part, something that you could not part with in your life? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Everlasting life is something God grants to us today that continues on into eternity. It's not just something for the future, it's life. Light of life. It's life for today. Thirdly, light purifies. Light purifies. Sunlight will remove stains from spotted garments. Our wives know this. They hang out white shirts in the sun to bleach them, get them nice and white again. So it removes stains, but it also purifies. In 1877, it was discovered that sunlight kills bacteria, and it was a breakthrough discovery as far as health goes and controlling some of these harmful bacteria and germs. There's something about light and the UV rays that are used in healing, different types of healing for... Oh, there's a lot of different things, but we must hurry on. I'll leave that there. You can search it out. But there are some fascinating ways that light purifies our bodies too. But just as the sun removes these physical stains, so Jesus, the light of the world, removes the spiritual stains from our souls. What did Jesus do for this woman in the beginning of chapter 8? They caught her in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus. And they said, "She deserves to die." And they were right. She deserved death. But what did Jesus do? What did the light of life have to offer this woman? Beautiful verse. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He brought forgiveness. He brought purification. It didn't take history away, but it forgave what had happened in the past. The light of life purifies our souls. If we open our hearts to let it shine in. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How wonderful. How wonderful it is that the blood of Jesus, the light of the world, can turn stains pure, clean, white. The blood of Christ purifies our hearts. I have some more verses we could read, but I think we'll hurry on. Number four. Light heals. Another wonderful benefit of light is that it heals. There is some real health benefits in being in the sunlight. There is therapies that are prescribed to people with natural sunlight to bring healing to their bodies. But once again, that's the natural light. Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world, brings healing to hurting hearts. His love and compassion heals broken, hurt lives and emotions, hearts and minds. In the very first sermon that Jesus ever preached, it's recorded in Luke 4, he declared the prophecy of Isaiah 61:1, and it was himself that was being prophesied. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. There are many, many people that have been wounded by the words and the deeds of others. Deep hurts, deep scars. It's a cruel world. There's rejection that people face. There's adversity and affliction and loss. Many people carry burdens that are heavier than they can carry. Some of it is a choice, is a result of their own bad decisions. Some of it is just living in a fallen world. But Jesus, the light of life, wants to bring healing. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And he calls us in Matthew 11 to come unto him if you're weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. That speaks of health. That speaks of the pain being removed and finding rest for our souls. Fifthly, light cheers. We've talked sometimes about the limited amount of sunlight that we get in our winters here in Erie. And it can have it can affect our mood, if we're honest. There's something about lots of cloudy and foggy weather over extended period of time that can produce moodiness or depression or whatever you want to call it. And they actually have a name for it. It's called seasonal affective disorder, SAD. And they try to treat it. But there's something about light, something about a day like today, again, that brings joy, cheers us. Speaking of the coming Messiah in Isaiah 60, verse 20, it was prophesied, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Many people depend on things going well in their lives to be happy. And that is, I suppose, basically what happiness is dependent on. As long as my life is going good, then I can be happy. But Jesus, the light of life, offers something way more than that. It is joy. It is something that is not dependent on happenstance, something that can be ours even through clouds and the lack of sunshine. Joy is something that Jesus, our light, gives to us. It's a mark of someone who has seen and who knows the light. What produces joy? Joy comes from a knowledge that you're right with God. It comes from knowing that you are loved by God, that you are His friend, that you are His child, no longer a stranger or a guest. It comes from knowing that you're pleasing your Creator and your Savior. It comes from fellowshipping with Him and bathing in the light of His presence each day. Light cheers. Connect with Jesus. He will bring you joy. The light of life can cheer your heart. Sixthly, light gives security. Are you afraid of the dark, children? I remember being afraid of the dark, sure. There's something about darkness that can be a little scary. The unknown, you know, what's out there? What might happen? What might sneak up on me? But as soon as you flip that switch on and the floodlight shines out there, it's so much easier to go feed the dog, right? It makes all the difference. Why is that? Light dispels darkness. And there's something about light being able to see what's about me that gives me a sense of security. Again, make the parallel in your mind. Is Jesus your light? When Jesus shines His light about you, are you living in fear? Are you living in worry? Or is Jesus shining the light of life into your heart and you feel secure in Christ, knowing that He will do what's best for me in my life? Jesus provides true security, and nothing can unknowingly penetrate the wall of defense that He builds around His own. Jeremy read those verses. Neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. None of those things, if we're truly in Christ, the light of life, those things cannot penetrate. It doesn't mean that we don't face discouragement sometimes. It doesn't mean that sometimes we reach the end of our rope like Jonah. But if we live in the light of Christ, our life and our light, He can bring security to our hearts. And seventhly, light brings hope. Light brings hope. For years, light has been a symbol of hope. Through the ages, paintings, poems, stories, there's something about light. There's something about seeing the dawn of a new day if you've had a difficult night that brings some hope. It's a new day, new opportunities. There's new light to shine upon my path. Jesus is truly the embodiment of hope. Jesus, the light of the world, is hope. Hope of salvation, hope of righteousness, hope of peace. But the greatest hope that He gives us is that which pertains to the life beyond. There was a famous poet. His name was William Sidney Porter, who, we're told, when he lay dying, he called out to his nurse, "Pull up the shades, Mary. I'm afraid to go home in the dark." There's many, many people who are afraid because they don't have the light of Jesus in their life. They're afraid to go home. It's dark. The future, the afterlife, is very dark to them. Death is dark and foreboding. Death is dreaded. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus, the light of the world, can change that in your life. He can change that. He has in mind. He is the only one that can grant us a cheerful light, even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus told Martha when she was weeping over the loss of her brother, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He said, there's a hope available for you. Do you believe it? Can you understand it? Can you grasp it? Jesus knew that we would face darkness sometimes as we go through valleys, and we needed a reassurance of hope. And he gave us these beautiful words in John 14 when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That is hope. That is hope coming from the giver of hope, the giver of light. And we have beautiful verses in Revelations 2 about the city having no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What better hope do we need? What better hope could we have? Jesus, our light, is our hope. Again, as we look at light, and Jesus being the light of the world, there was prophetic applications for them, for the Jews, back in Jesus' day. They looked forward to a time when a light would shine out of darkness. Jesus came. He had a message for them today. We have the scriptures all the way till today, and there's a message for us today. We looked at these practical applications to what this light is. But I think that there's also a future implication of this as well. We talked a little bit about it with hope, but study these feasts sometimes. The last three feasts, I think, well, the Feast of Tabernacles was the last one, but the Feast of Trumpets speaks, I believe, of the rapture. The Day of Atonement was the sixth feast, which I think speaks of the tribulation, and then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, where God comes and dwells, Shekinah glory comes down, and I think it speaks of the thousand-year reign where Christ will come and dwell here on this earth. We can talk about that more afterwards, but I think if you look at those parallels and those feasts, it is fascinating. But friends, this morning, brothers and sisters, the truth of the light of the world needs to burn in our hearts. It needs to be more than just a knowledge that we know Jesus shines his light. We know Jesus is the light. We know he brings hope. We know he brings purifying and healing. We know he brings joy and security. But do we really know it? Do we understand it? Is it alive in our own hearts? Jesus wants to shine his light till there is no dark corners in our hearts. No dark corners in the whole city of Jerusalem. It's a type of no dark corners in our hearts. And then Christ says, "You, and you are the light of the world." Take that light. Take the light that I've shined into your heart, and you go bring sight and life and healing and cheering and joy and security to the darkness of the people that live in darkness about you. I'll pour my oil into your lamp until you shine so bright that you're a city on a hill that can't be hid. Are we doing that? Are we the light to the lost about us? Are we reflecting? Are we shining forth the light that Christ has shined into our lives? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."